Y'all, hormones, it's impossible not to have them. There's over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our food, our water, the air, the clothes, the skincare, the dryer sheets, everything, child, is a scam to the hormones, okay? Plus, we have natural hormonal changes that our bodies go through. Like, what's going on with my body? Like, I am now in my 30s and my skin is acting like a teenager. What is going on with the hormones? Which is why I love Hormone Harmony. It contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Okay, so adaptogens help the body adapt to stressors like chaotic hormonal changes. It's perfect for women struggling with PMS, menopause, and more, honey. Y'all know I work hella jobs. Hormone Harmony has really helped me like regulate, especially like sleep and just relaxation and calming down and not panicking as much. They've got 17,000 reviews, so you don't even have to listen to me, but get into it. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire order at hormonemammoth.com. Just use the code GODDESS at checkout. Watch Queenie, the new original series on Hulu. Who is Queenie? She's in her 20s. She lives in London. She's facing all the firsts. First major heartbreak, first shitty apartment and soul-sucking job, first therapy session to work through those mommy issues. Can she turn her quarter-life crisis into a revolution? Maybe. Will she make some questionable decisions along the way? Definitely. The new series Queenie premieres June 7th, streaming on Hulu. What's poppin', congregation? It's your girl, Lacey Mosley, a.k.a. Scam Goddess, and we're back with another installment of Scam Goddess, the podcast dedicated to robbery, fraud, chicanery, hoodwinkery, and all those who practice it. Sometimes we love them, sometimes we hate them. And guys, I have been working on this scam for so long. This is an active, live moment of con artistry that you guys are listening to right now, because I have wanted to get this man on this podcast for so long. Guys, I've been plotting, I've been Birdman hand rubbing, I've been staring out windows, just gazing, thinking like one day, yes, a window right there that we can see. Hey, Z-Way's advertisement, y'all get into her show, it's wild. Guys, today we have amazing comedian, writer, producer, content creator on the show. He's co-written a book with his lovely wifey, who I actually recognized at a restaurant, and I ran up to her and was like, wait a minute. And I was like, oh, okay, you here too? Oh, hello. Hello, good sir. Guys, the book is called Marriage Be Hard, 12 conversations to keep you laughing, loving, and learning with your partner. You can get it right now on pre-order, which is going to give it up for who this is, mm-hmm. But you can get it right now, pre-order it right now on kevonstage.com. Congregation, please welcome Kevin Fredericks. Did y'all know his last name is Fredericks? Kevin,
tell him what happened, Lacey.
AKA
tell him what happened when you didn't know my name. Tell him how you treated me in the elevator, how you looked me up and down, dismissive. You Miranda Priestley'd me in the lobby.
This is not true. This is simply a lie. I feel like Kevin is so churchy, I feel like I can't say lie.
You can lie, you can cuss. You can be whoever you are.
I feel like I gotta say telling a story. No.
What was with that anyway?
I don't know. I feel like that was just black parents being annoying.
It was black parents across the nation being like, you can't say a lie. You can say tell a story.
Like, how y'all gonna make up a curse word? How y'all gonna make up a curse word? Don't you call me a liar, okay? I'm like, well, mom, what am I supposed to say? You said something that's not actual. It's not factual. Okay. All right. But what happened was, is I saw Kevin Fredericks in my calendar. And mind you, I've been trying to get this man for forever. Like, been in his DMs. We follow each other on Twitter. Yep. I'll be retweeting. And he's hilarious. But I also be down there like, ha, 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 this would be great for the podcast. And I like sick my fans after him. Like, I really worked so hard to get this icon in the building. But I saw Kevin Fredericks on my Google Calendar. And then I texted Judith, our amazing producer, super producer Judith, who apparently used to go by Judes.
Big Judes. Freaking Judes. Kyle Rocker was there, Judes. It was amazing, bro.
Sorry, Judith, you always have the power to edit that out if you want. But and she will listen. I'll be like, oh, this sounds great. She'll be like, actually, I'm going to take out more. You can't say this legally. I'm like, oh, okay, we're going to get sued. Okay. We run into getting sued a lot. Not the guests, just me. I have an obligato fund. We good. But so
I look at the calendar invite and I was like, Kevin Fredericks. And I texted Judith and I said, look, if I don't know the person, we don't need to be in studio. I was like, I just got my COVID test. I got to shoot tomorrow. Like, I'll wear a mask and just make sure you social distance our seats.
Hilarious.
Because I don't know who Kevin Fredericks is. I got in the elevator and here comes Kev. Kev on stage. His last name to me is on stage. I thought his wife was Melissa on stage. I thought the children also were on stage.
Oh, man. That is too funny.
And I was like, Kevin.
That's Kevin Fredericks.
Child, I ain't even wear no makeup or nothing, Jesus. See, this is why you always got to stay ready so you don't have to get ready. I did not realize, Kevin, it was you.
That's hilarious.
But I'm so happy you're here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. I told Lacey a quick story about not knowing people's name. I had a homegirl on Twitter. JMarie87_87 Talked to her for 5-6 years, lived in Tacoma, all this stuff. And she had a baby. I knew her baby's dad, went to the hospital. I was like, hey, I'm here to see. And they're like, yeah, what's the first and last name? And I was like, JMarie_ You know what? I don't know her.
The hospital talking about.
I said, well, you do the at sign first and then J. Y'all do underscores in the...
That's what her room is under, right?
Yeah.
At J. Marie.
They were like, what, who? And I was like, you know, I had to call her. I was like, hey, what's your baby's mom? What's her full name? Jasmine. Oh, okay. That's what the J is for. So Marie, her middle name? Oh, got it.
Her Twitter handle, the name, you know, you could change the name. It's like Lil Firestarter. Yeah. Can y'all look that up? No? Okay. Oh, my gosh. The digital age is really like...
Crazy. Metaverse is coming. It's already halfway here.
It's so terrifying when you say it like that.
Metaverse is on its way.
It is. But also, I feel like with COVID, then you were really making connections online. Yes. And not meeting people. And I went to a Super Bowl party this year, and I ran into somebody, and I was like, oh, this is the homie, because we were talking to somebody else. I was like, oh, this is the homie, da 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 da. And they were like, we've never met in real life. And
isn't
I was like,
crazy?
Oh, we haven't?
It feels, if you talk to somebody 3 or 4 times a week, even through, you know, DM or text or something, it feels like we know each other.
It feels like you know each other. Yeah. So then I was crazy. Like, wait a minute. You know what it actually was? It was Leonard Robinson who married Yvonne Orji's character on Insecure, the good black man that all the black men was like, where's this man?
Right. He's in the television show. That's where you're going to find him.
But Leonard's a good dude in real life.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know if he out here for the streets no more. If he was, he probably not, because I'm sure after that episode, the girls
were... Oh, raise his profile for sure.
Oh, it was a wrap. But it was actually him. He was like, listen, we've never met in real life. I was like, yeah, we have. No. And we've met several times since then, but it was very embarrassing for me, because I was like, this is my dude and my nigga right here.
My boy. Oh, you can say nigga on there?
Yes.
Oh, great. I know, because they nigga. I held 3 niggas in already.
Oh, well, no, let them go.
You let them go free. Sleepy. Okay, them niggas is gone.
It's coming out in June anyway, Juneteenth. I know you saw that merch. That's a scam. I can't believe that.
Let me tell you what, them white folks was like, oh, federal holiday? Bet.
It's on.
We already have all these. They selling. It's the freedom for me.
Isn't it a napkin?
Freedom for me.
It's the freedom for me.
It just broke my soul wide open.
I said, how can y'all... Look, capitalism has already been so dirty. We saw what they did to Cinco de Mayo. People still don't know that's not Mexican Independence Day. That's in September, y'all.
Man.
But everyone says, like, during Hispanic Heritage Month, somebody tweeted, they were like, yeah, that's when Walmart all of a sudden just has, like, Cesar Chavez books everywhere. They're like, that's y'all MLK, right? Cesar Chavez?
That's y'all MLK, right? Walmart don't care about nothing.
They don't care about nobody.
What y'all be saying? What's the colors? Black, yellow, green? All right,
okay,
what's the
okay, cool.
For me?
And bet some Kente, we'll throw some Kente in there. They didn't even change the flag. They did the Blue Lives Matter flag, but just turned it black, green, and red. I said, no, they did not.
Because Walmart want to sell it for $3. They bought it for $1, sell it for $2. That's all they care about. If y'all blacks want this, this is what y'all got.
Bye, Felicia. Hello, freedom. No. No.
Ah, that's going to be on a commercial. No. And it's going to be your fault that I see that on Roll Black Prices.
Not the blue light. We cannot be black people on the blue light special. No, I refuse. I absolutely refuse.
Roll back the amendment to roll back the prices here at Walmart.
Roll back the amendments. We're both going to hell. I hope you know that's going to be in the commercial right there. Roll back the amendments and roll back the prices.
Oh, my gosh.
But we always ask at the top of the show, what's your relationship with scams? Have you ever been scammed? Do you love them? You can hate them? It could be anything.
Okay, I'll give you two.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yes, absolutely. You can give as much as you want. No,
I'll give you the time I was scammed.
Okay.
Okay, I went to New York for work. We were at New York Comedy
Fest. Scam capital.
Yep, scam capital. And I wanted to take my team, 7 of us, to a Knicks game. Right?
Okay. So you balling.
Yeah, I was doing okay. I was doing okay. But we were just going to be up in there. It wasn't going to be floor seats. We were just going to be
just gonna be up in
Madison Square Garden.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
So I'm on Ticketmaster. We had a shoot early in the day, so I'm on Ticketmaster, and I'm like, man, I don't know what we're going to get out, but I don't want to buy these tickets, and we can't go. Right. I ain't have money like that. So ticket prices are going all day. Then it's like all the tickets are gone off Ticketmaster. So I'm like, let's just go to the Garden. We'll get tickets. We'll get somebody to sell
us tickets. So you with the scalp route.
Lacey, you're judging early, I feel like.
Now, Kev, as much scalp as you got exposed.
Let me tell you.
Because you are bald.
How badly.
How you going to get
I
scalp?
Was the biggest. You know in the cartoons when they're stranded on the desert island and one turns into a turkey?
Yes.
I was that this scammer. I mean, he was licking his chops from a mile away.
No judgment. Look, I've been scammed a bunch. We do not judge our guests.
Okay.
Okay.
So I go, and it's a black man, too.
Oh, no.
So he start off black man head nod. I'm like, man. Oh, surely he can't scam me.
He got the guard down
he
already.
He got the guard down with the head nod, right? Mm-hmm. My man, what you need? My man needs 7 tickets. Oh, I got you, bro. I got $50 a ticket. I'm like, bet. Perfect. 7 of us, $50. Let me go to this ATM, right?
Right. That's not a bad deal.
Right? Go to the ATM. He's like, yeah, that's $400 right there. And I'm like, bet. Take the money out. I never even do the math.
Yeah, because wait a minute. I'm 50, like, 7 times 50 is not.
It's not even $400. It's
$350. Yeah, it's less than $400, yeah.
I was so happy this black man was going to make my day. I didn't even bother to count it up. $400? Thank you, sir. Take it out of the Chase thing. Hand him the cash. He hands me these tickets. Okay, we go into the Garden. They don't scan you at first. They do the pat down. Mm-hmm. Go
the
in.
Pat down?
Yeah,
what
like
year
a,
is this?
You know, like a metal detector.
Oh,
metal
okay. Detector. I was like, and someone physically
No. Metal detector.
I was like, so that I'm was like, another scam, Kev. They
I know, right?
You know where they do the breast rub. Right. But I don't think they're supposed to be doing that.
Exactly. So we get to the second metal detector, and that's when they're like, all right, let me scan your tickets. Scan it. The thing turns red.
Oh, no.
I'm like, surely there's a mistake, sir. I just bought these tickets outside from this fine gentleman who sold me 50 tickets, $50 tickets for all 7 of us. Scan it again. I finally look at the ticket closely for the first time.
Oh, no.
This man had yesterday's game, okay, tickets. I mean, he had written, like, they had a printer that today's title, the today's game title.
He wrote, like, today over he wrote, like, Sharpie.
He obviously picked up old, like, stubs, mm-hmm. right, from yesterday's game and had a printer for the middle part. I finally look at the perforated edges. These things have been glued back.
No.
The dates. You have yesterday's date on one part, today's date on another part. I look at it, they scan it, and the scan guy was like, where'd you get them? I was like, I got them outside that man. Lacey, I went, all 7 of us have to walk back outside.
So now you're like.
And there was, first of all, it was 20 of these guys when I'm there fighting for my scam. I get there, puff of smoke. Ain't nobody there. There's no proof these people ever existed. I go on. Now, here's the win, though. I went online and tweeted, like, man, I got scammed in New York. The actual Knicks tweeted me back.
Whoa.
And were like, you can come floor seats for your family. I actually never been able to do this because of timing and not being in New York, but they offered me, I have an open floor seats from the Knicks because I got scammed.
Now, are you sure you want to say that on this podcast? Because somebody out there might go and try to be Kev on stage.
Let them have it. If they can do it, now I can pay for the floor seats for an off-night game. Not of note. But no, don't take my tickets, man. I want to take my kids. And I'll tell you another quick story about the time I was a part of a scam and I didn't realize it until later. I used to work for Bank of America, and we used to sell credit cards. That was part of the things I had to sell as a personal banker.
Yeah.
And there was a blip in time where Bank of America partnered with American Express.
Okay. You know what's weird, Kev, is like I have Bank of America, and I see you in a blue suit right now.
Absolutely was.
And you give big
Bank of America
personal
banker vibe. Like
you would definitely
Lacey, yo, you would love to. You look great in a
home.
Let
me get my card out.
Are you renting in L.A.? I'm sure I can get you in a house.
Oh, I want to give you my social right now.
Let's come have a seat. Wow. Well, let's see what we can do. Worst case scenario, you're back where you started.
Let's see what we can do. Is their cat shreds?
Oh,
woo!
My
God.
Let's see what we can do. And the thing is, most people don't realize that their personal banker is a salesperson. That's
I
the first scam.
I didn't know that.
They don't know. It's designed. They don't know that I get commissioned off of what I get you.
I thought they were just helping me.
Mm-mm. I was just helping you. Oh, but wow. My bonus was tied to bank account opening, savings account, credit cards, home loans.
That's why they wanted to open my business account up. And that's why they were.
Oh, business accounts are worth like five times personal accounts.
Yep. I said I was looking for a house. They immediately pre-approved me for a loan. And they were like, you want to tack on an extra half a mil? Because you know you're going to have to fight everybody in the front lawn.
There
and I was like, what?
That was my job.
Wow.
So we had a partnership with American Express one summer. And now when I do credit card applications regularly, I'd say one out of 25 gets approved. Right? Mm-hmm. Most of those who get approved are high school students going into college.
Really?
Almost 100, zero
credit.
They're
like, we're about to ruin yours.
Bingo.
You ain't even had it
I got
it
a
yet.
High school student on the way to college with their parents' approval, we home free. It's going to be a small amount, but I'm going to hit my number. This thing, American Express, I type in people's name, and the people I know have bad credit. Approved, $3,000.
Oh my gosh.
Approved, $7,000. Approved, $5,000. So after the first week, I'm like, man, I got like 15 credit cards this week. That's enough for like a great month. And then
skipping
my
giving 08 investment banker.
Yeah.
It's giving, were you responsible for the housing crisis?
I absolutely played my part. I wasn't the result. I didn't know it was a scam, right? So my brother's a barber at this time, one of the most popular barbers in Tacoma. And I'm like, yo, Jay, I'm going to test this out because I know he has terrible credit at this time. Bless his heart. He's good. He's good now. Him and his wife, terrible credit. So I'm like, Jay, I'm gonna apply you for this credit card. Because if you get approved, something's wrong. And we gotta capitalize on this.
You and your brother are hilarious. Because right. If you get approved, we right. gotta know.
Something is
bad wrong.
Put his stuff in, $5,000. Put his wife in, $4,000. I said, Jay, tell anybody at the barbershop if they need a credit card, come see me. American Express, I probably opened 300, 400 credit cards. Lines of credit. If you had a real name, birthday, social, it didn't matter what your credit card
was. So you probably opening credit cards for little babies.
No, you had to be 18.
So it was a one-year-old.
That was the only thing. You had to be 18.
No, I'm not going to implicate you with no crime.
I'm already giving but away a crime. Lacey trying to make it worse.
But the fact that you were working and operating this through the barbershop is just such a specific black thing. Because all the good scams came through the barbershop.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the whole summer, this worked. Everybody in the hood in Tacoma, that I got South Sound Seller of the Quarter that quarter off of that scam. And now here's the thing. The bank knew. They were like,
right,
yo, something's wrong. Push these because we want to be the branch of the quarter. Like, that's how people got paid. I can tell you a bigger scam about how we were actually a part of the housing crisis. But it was like people's lives were ruined. That's the part that I was like, okay, I can't live with this. A free credit card don't hurt me.
Right.
But lying, it was.
Especially if your credit's already bad. It's not like if you default on it, we're making it worse.
That's what I told myself.
And
I
also, credit was invented in 1989. And it's
true?
Yes, and it's a tool of white supremacy. So
I've been hearing that, but I haven't
found it. It's absolutely
true. It was really invented in 1989.
Yes, some old white dudes got in a room and said, let's make up credit. And that was
really?
It. That's like how most things have ever come about, you know?
1989? That's when my parents had no idea what it was.
Yes.
My dad's credit was ruined by his dad. Putting stuff in his name.
Mm-hmm.
My parents couldn't teach me, and it makes more sense. They were young.
Mm-hmm.
89!
Yes, they just made this shit up, which is why everything is a scam. I want to make something up. What credit bureau can I make up?
The stupidest thing about credit is you have to maintain a certain amount of credit.
Mm-hmm.
If you pay it off,
you lower your score.
That is asinine. It's stupid, but anyway, absolutely. I don't know if it was a scam from American Express or Bank of America, but it was a scam that benefited the people. I was Robin Hood for the people. I was giving people basically, and I'm talking about these niggas was buying stuff, suits, Xboxes, washing machines, like the hood, the barbecues we had that summer. We had a credit card plus EBT. We had a whole lot. We had whale on the grill. We had new stuff.
Now we had whale on the grill.
We had whale. You ain't never seen whale on a barbecue grill until you have American Express credit cards.
Hey, yo, we got that Moby Dick.
Bro, we got Moby Dick fillets. Y'all still eating salmon?
Oh, that's play. We eating Moby Dick over here. Give me that Sweet Baby Ray's. Throw it on Moby real quick. What?
But those are my relations to Scam.
Oh, those are fantastic. Kev, oh my goodness. Listen, Kev may have had his part in the 08
Absolutely did.
the collapse of the market. But 1,000%. It was, look, I met investment bankers who were like, oh yeah, we was making them balloon payments. He was like, I was robbing.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You were trying to help people. A lot of these people were just trying to get themselves rich. And
it
these
was.
Are people who had been marginalized by fake-ass systems like the credit bureaus.
Yes.
So,
it was crazy,
I don't see no problem. That ain't
no
problem.
I ain't no problem. I gave back to the hood. I was a legend in the streets that summer.
I wish I lived in Tacoma. I wish I could have seen you like walk down the street and be like, hey, y'all, there go the credit card, man.
$5,000 of a line of credit you don't have to pay back? Because your credit's already crap.
Right.
What's $5,000 more?
That's popping.
Charge, I'm already charged off. It's already 312. It was a great summer, Lacey. Woo! You should have been there.
I wish I had been there.
There was weaves. Tacoma was, the land was flooded with weaves. Quick weaves. The bundles flowed from Seattle to Olympia off that American Express.
Oh, and I know they had that good Brazilian. Oh, I know they did. I know the girls in Brazil were hot. Oh, my, had it. Oh, I love that for us. Oh, goodness. Well, we're going to take a quick break for some non-scam advertisements. We'll be right back with a letter from you guys. Scams!
Watch Queenie, the new original series on Hulu. Who is Queenie? She's in her 20s. She lives in London. She's facing all the firsts. First major heartbreak, first shitty apartment and soul-sucking job, first therapy session to work through those mommy issues. Can she turn her quarter-life crisis into a revolution? Maybe. Will she make some questionable decisions along the way? Definitely. The new series Queenie premieres June 7th, streaming on Hulu. Finding the perfect t-shirt has always had me like Goldilocks, trying on shirts. This one's too hard. This one's too soft. And it fell apart because y'all know I got it from a cheap website. And this t-shirt from Skims is just right. From fit to quality, it is one of my, like, these are my favorite t-shirts. I have 3 different ones. Y'all know I love me an Onyx because I'm going to be wearing black all the time. They have a cotton long sleeve jersey tee that I really like too because the material is so soft. But when I put it in the washer, she don't have a whole transformation or makeover. It's not move that bust when I take it out. She looks the way that she looked when I put her in. And we know we cannot say that for all t-shirts, okay? So you can have staple t-shirts that you can mix and match and wear up or down. Maybe we're going to a fancy night out. Maybe we're going on a date. Maybe we're lounging around the house. I love these shirts so much because I can do so many different things with them. It's like, I'm telling y'all, Skims, they doing right over there. I got on the underwear right now. I can't give it up. I think they got me, y'all. I'm not even playing. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com. Now available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. After you place your order, select Scam Goddess in the survey and select My Show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Hot! And we are back, and it's time for What's Hot and Fraud. This is where I warn our listeners about hopping scams and the zeitgeist, and more often than not, we get a letter from you guys. As always, snitch on your friends and family at scamgoddesspod@gmail.com. Just make sure the scam is retired, like Kevin's brother's bad credit is, hopefully, before you share it, because we don't want to what? Yes, fuck up your bag. Amen. Say amen after that. My mom is going to drag me this week. I need a fake name for these people. And I want to tell you, Kev, that I picked this because you have this book coming out, yep. Marriage Be Hard, 12 Conversations to Keep You Laughing, Loving, Learning with Your Partner, that you wrote with your wife, Melissa Fredericks.
Yes.
So I wanted to pick a wedding scam. That worked with both, so, you know, a couple. So I need a fake name for this person.
First and last?
This couple. Yeah, sure.
Clarion Trenton.
You would make this so hard. I have
Clarion
to write
Trenton.
This down.
That's a great name for a scammer. Or a scammy.
It is. Clarion also sounds like a credit card that, like, Russell Simmons made up. Clarion.
I used to work for him. I don't know if you know that.
No, I didn't know that. Oh my goodness. Were you a part? I hope you were responsible for the rush card. That was
no.
Had no rush into getting people their money. That's when they stopped rushing. Where it ended.
Nothing to do with rush card.
Listen, they know we love to joke about rush card on the show. This is one of the staples. So Clarion Trenton.
Okay.
Clarion says, dear Scam Goddess, I would like to tell you a story about a very successful scam that I ran once and only ran once for reasons that will later be revealed. Clarion, I want to say I love how you wrote this. Like, just like the penmanship. Like, Clarion, do you want to do some YA novels or like maybe explore a blog? I don't know. My now husband proposed to me 10 years ago in my parents' backyard. It was just us two present. It was cute and romantic and lovely, and I said yes. That's so sweet. Wait, how did you propose, Kev, if you don't mind sharing?
I don't mind. I proposed on Easter Sunday.
That's
2003.
So churchy.
Super churchy. Oh, my God. Some days I look back and I'd be like, boy, you probably want to kiss God.
Right.
If I had a chance.
He is risen. Now you're going to be like, he is risen. And here is the ring on the...
And literally, while you're joking, I had my pastor make it seem like I was giving like a little mini message. And I was like, you know, just like God.
No.
Yes. You know, marry the church. You know, we spoke, the, and that ring symbolized his love for us.
Kev, what if she had said no in front of the congregation?
I would have served the devil from then on. Walked out of the church, did a blood sacrifice, a little of the A, anarchy, candles. But I had done research to make sure I had a high probability of her saying yes, and her family and friends love me. So I knew she would at least say yes then, if you could decline me later. If we don't get married.
You don't want to get in the car and it's a silent ride home.
That.
Like,
engagements fall off all the time. Very few people get told no in front of people. So yeah, I gave my little fake message, and then I was like, Melissa, and she was like, and then her sister, both her sisters and two of our homegirls came out with signs that said, will you marry me in front of the whole church?
You had some praise dancers? Did they come out in the way? Did they come out in the way?
I should have choreographed that. I should have had Now Behold the Lamb come out and them to start.
These are some real churchy cuts. Man. I love it. Never mind. Maybe my mom will like this episode.
But yeah, that's how I propose.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It is adjacent to like being at a football game, mm-hmm. and being like, I think it's almost worse because in a congregation, like, I feel like everybody knew Melissa at this church.
Everybody knew Melissa. I went to this. I left my church and started going to her church about a year and a half before we got engaged. Actually, probably 2 or 3 years before we got engaged.
Was that your long game? You were like, okay, I'll get the congregation familiar with me.
Yep.
Like, I'm going to start coming to, you know, I'm going to be the one cutting the donuts in half for Sunday school in the morning.
Get as many people on my side as possible. And this is going to work out.
I love this. This is exactly how I want a man to act when I want them to be like, damn, they're tricking me. Just like, I love it. No, she's a wonderful woman. I'm so glad that this worked out for you guys. But so this is a couple,
okay.
and they're doing the engagement thing. So they did a quiet kind of backyard engagement. I want spectacle.
Okay.
If you're listening out there, anyone who potentially wants to marry me, so much spectacle. I want all of it. So that's I want you to interrupt church.
Interrupt church for Lacey. No quiet walks in the park.
No.
No parking the car by Lookout Mountain.
Mm-mm. I want the whole choir, and you better have the tone deaf children. You better have them sit down because I don't want the sound being messed up by everybody getting used by God. We need to start realizing that some people need to be used by passing out programs.
Hilarious.
Other people can sing.
Yes. Everybody has their place.
Exactly. Okay. I used to hate that when I was a kid. I used to always sing Jesus is Bubbling in My Soul. They try to take my solo away, talking about we got to pass it around to my cousins and stuff. I was like, why? They can't sing. It's just me. It should just be me.
Hilarious.
So. That spring and summer, we were saving money to go backpacking in the fall. We saved our coins and worked our butts off and planned our trip. We would often brainstorm how to make our trip awesome while being smart with money, and we were saving. We planned to WWOOF, Willing Workers on Organic Farms. Oh, okay. So they were going to work on farms while they were traveling to get some free housing. They're going to stay at hostels. They're going to couch surf.
Wow.
Remember that scam? We also did that once. Y'all are real bold. Yeah, this is giving Caucasian because I'm not showing up to nobody's house. And being like, can I sleep on your couch?
No.
The confidence. But some people do like this in rural areas because it's like, you'll never see nobody. So you're like, oh,
absolutely.
Interesting new people.
We're excited.
I'm not opening my doors. So sorry. That's what they got the church for, not I. One day, I came across a cute story about a couple that proposed to each other all over the world. I think one of them was a photographer or something. Included in the story was an anecdote about how they were often offered flowers or food or champagne toast after staging their proposals. Mm. I don't know if they actually accepted any of those things because all my scheming ass read was free champagne. Clarion. Clarion, did anybody give you anything free, Kev, after the proposal?
No.
They didn't come up and they didn't have no...
I didn't get one thing.
You didn't even get like a little extra communion?
No, no extra communion. I didn't get anything, actually. I don't think she did either. We're mostly poor people. We're all poverty stricken.
Okay, but that...
We had nothing. Nobody had nothing extra to give.
I know you do that, like, sir, that... bit on TikTok where you're like, if you had this, yeah, you probably didn't have much money.
Have a lot of money. Yeah. Yeah. That was our, we were still in that part of our life when we could propose. I think I was 20. Yeah, I was 20. So
20.
Yeah, we got married in my junior, end of my junior year of college.
Wowzers.
So yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, we were together since we were in high school.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I wish I had just plucked off somebody in high school. It probably would have been easier. I waited too long. People got too many options now. You gotta trick them. They out here thinking they got options. It's crazy. Oh, I'm like, gosh. You don't. So with utter glee, I hatched my plan with my husband. See what I'm talking about? With utter glee. Okay, utter Clarion. Glee. We would propose to each other while backpacking with a dummy ring from Walmart. The fall arrived. We packed our backpacks, said our goodbyes, and took off to the other side of the planet. It took us a few weeks to work up the courage. We joked about it at restaurants, always chickening out. Clarion, you really paint a picture, girl. I got a story. I got a podcast to run now. Clarion, I'm skipping ahead. Okay. So Clarion says that they went spelunking, cave diving, whatever you want to call it. It was an adventure, underground caves, they did all this stuff. Okay, so my husband took the tour guide aside and told him his plan. I could sense that the guide was excited. They were stoked. The zip line into the cave was pretty early in the tour, about 15 minutes into a five-hour-long tour. The guide stealthily placed me at the back of the line so that I would be the last to fly down into the darkness. I didn't pick up on it until later, but the guide was humming Marry You by Bruno Mars.
Oh, wow. That is such a specific song. It really popped right into my head.
It did, but also, like, this man tells the tour guide impromptu, like, I want to propose to her here. And this tour guide is so on board that he's like, I think I want to marry. He ain't even got no music. He ain't got no.
That's a funny song to sing a cappella as well.
Right, how does it even go? I think I want to marry you. This is a man. There's just a man creepily humming this behind you while you plunge into a cave.
Nobody sings that song randomly. That song has to be playing to be sung.
Yeah, you can't just sing it with your own throat.
No.
What? That's crazy.
Now you can't just sing it with your own throat. Just that's randomly alone?
That's really wild, actually.
It's a wild song to just jump in the world with.
I would be alarmed. I feel like I would be less alarmed if they were like, we ain't getting no younger, yeah, so we might as well
that
do
makes
this.
Sense.
Let's get married. Like, you can sing that with your throat, but this one, this is bizarre. You gotta have a flash mob. You have 1,000%. To play it from a speaker. So... But I love how on board this tour guy was. That he was immediately like, okay, let's do this. I'm going to sing a song, which I want to hear. This feels like somebody who goes to karaoke and sings really, really hard. Because he just made this his moment immediately.
He was like, yes, I'm locked in. Let's make this happen. I've been waiting for this day.
Loving you. Make sure your harness is strapped in. Okay, is it cut? Like, what is happening, sir? I love it. I love those guys. So then... basically, she said that she landed on a rocky ledge, looked up to see the rest of the tour group holding candles.
Mm.
She said fucking candles. Like, how did they have all this? They really was prepared for anybody to propose?
That's odd.
Staring at me. My husband is on one knee in his life jacket and spelunking helmet, looking extremely nervous. Despite his nerves, he gave a beautiful speech and proposed. I said, yes, of course, shaking like a leaf and trying to act like this was all a huge surprise. The guy then popped a bottle of sparkling grape juice and they toasted our love. A successful scam, right? Did you clock the fact that this tour was 5 hours long and we were only 15 minutes into it? We had to keep up this ruse the entire time. The other tour group members were asking about wedding plans, who we called first to let them know the news. Our tour guide had run to the store before our tour to get the sparkling juice cups and candles. Everyone was so happy for us, and we were lying to them. We made it out of the caves, and we thought we were done with our scheme. Oh, no. See, our plan had worked. We were still getting free shit. The tour manager informed us that we'd be receiving photos from the tour for free of charge. He handed me a thumb drive that would have cost us about $40. A huge smile and said that... asked if we could use our photos for promotional material. So the tour guide is seeing this also. Yeah. Like, let me go get some candles and sparkling grape juice from the stall. He was like, I'm about to get hella tours. It's about to be, we're going viral. That's why he back there singing.
Oh my God, I'm about to get hella tours. This is going to change the game.
He was like, everybody going to want to propose in the cave. This gonna be the new destination for bitches to get Tulum. Fuck Tulum. Everybody about to get proposed to in this cave, in this dark ass cave.
Oh my God.
I think I would be scared if it was a genuine proposal and I didn't know if it was coming. Yeah. If you were in a cave and then all of a sudden all these people you're with in this cave have candles.
That's weird. That's a ceremony.
Staring
that's,
at you.
That's, hey, why how'd y'all light these? Nope. I'm out. Somebody gotta die. Might be me. Gotta go.
The black in me is like, absolutely.
It's the black in me.
It's the black in me. I would be like, absolutely no. I would have ran if I didn't know what this was.
Immediately no.
So at the end it says, when we got back to our car and drove away, we sat in silence. The guilt set in and never left us. We've never run the scam again. Thank you for reading my story. One of these days I'll go back and pay for the pictures. You're a gift to the world, Lacey Amos. Oh, thank you so much. Wow. My fellow crabby cancer queen, Clarion. Clarion, you really are a cancer. Because this wasn't even, like, would you scam them out of some grape juice?
It's a very modest scam.
Yeah.
Even if people found out, they're like, oh, they beat us out of some candles and some grape juice.
Right.
And a picture, too.
Also, I feel like you gave everybody an experience because now they're a part of this beautiful moment
they're
spelunking.
About this.
Yeah, that's a story that they're going to share.
Yeah. They told people, man, we had candles. They got married. Man, we were spelunking.
Yeah.
How many times do you hear the word spelunking? Period.
And then also engagement and spelunking.
Oh, man, that's
a spicy
weekend.
Sentence.
That's a dinner party lead story.
Ooh, yeah.
Man, let me tell you about it. We went spelunking and had a whole. Proposal, we had the candles the whole nine. I mean, it's a great story. Scam.
Honestly, I don't think y'all went far enough, Clarion. I think y'all should have went to the restaurant. You should have did this in front of everybody's Airbnb and hostel that she was finna stay at. Because who wants to rob a freshly engaged couple? Nobody.
Come on, man. We got morals.
You should have did this in every restaurant you went into.
Absolutely.
Been screaming, hollering, crying, throwing up. Like, I would do it at the movie theater.
Absolutely. 100%. Run that until you can't run it no more.
Right.
Until people be like, y'all too old to be getting engaged.
See, that might be even more special then because it's like,
true.
You can add to the story and be like, I never thought I'd find love again after my first spouse died. Ooh, like, I wouldn't stop today, wrote an article about me and be like, if you see this couple.
They are already married. They've been married for 20 years running the same marriage scam.
I'm going to Kev's church. I'm doing it everywhere. Y'all playing. All right, guys. It's time for my favorite portion of this podcast, Historic Hoodwinks. This is where I will regale Kevin Fredericks. I can't stop saying I almost feel like I'm saying it like it's allegedly your name. Kevin Fredericks? A.K.A. Kev on stage.
Oh, allegedly Kevin Fredericks.
Allegedly Kevin Fredericks is this man's name. So we're going to be talking about famous con caper, Historic Hoodwinks. We'll get his opinions all throughout. Maybe he likes them, maybe he hates them. Kev's the only person who's ever actually looked at the research before the episode, which is something that we don't require.
I love to be prepared.
That I don't even do. I don't do it.
That actually made me feel safe because I did my research in the car on the way over. I was like, okay, got it. I got it. It was a pretty interesting story.
It is a very interesting story.
Yeah, I was like, hey, this is fantastic.
But also, this one's great, too. I think you'll like this, too.
I'm all in. I'm ready.
Guys, did I even tell you I was excited in the beginning of this? I feel like I forgot because that's how excited I was. But, okay, so in the early 18th century, we're talking about pirates who sailed the Caribbean and the likes of Blackbeard, and they were feared across the seas. So, okay, they sailed the Caribbean. They were basically like Blackbeard, who I think, like, if you're in olden times and people know who you are to this day, like, you was famous.
That's a fantastic point. You know how famous you have to be, like, before recorded history, before books and stuff? This is just... tall tales and legends. This is Omar from The Wire.
Right.
You know, it's stuff like, you don't
Omar
have
Omar coming. Like, Black coming? Beard coming. Yeah. I love that comparison that Blackbeard was just Omar from The Wire.
Omar from The Wire. His name rung out. Blackbeard, the original Omar.
I think that's what it was.
Now I'm in.
I'm in.
He's already black.
And we've decided that Blackbeard is black. How y'all gonna tell us different? Don't nobody
you
know
can't
what
tell
he looked like.
Anybody told me what he looked like?
Ain't nobody ever say what he looked like. So as far as I'm concerned, he looks like Omar did from The Wire, which rest in peace. That I think that's beautiful. So, you know, they're sailing across the seas, but few expected that two of the most infamous, thieving, ruthless pirates ever to sail were women. I know that's right.
Mulan of the seven seas?
Oh, hey, why you saying... I mean, I guess that's an accurate comparison, right?
Mulan was she?
Yeah, she.
Because it looks like are they masculine presenting?
No,
people knew they were women.
So I'm glad that we're going to understand like where they're coming from with this. Like, are they masquerading as men? Were they trans? We're going to find out. So that's really interesting to me. But right now, I think Mulan of the Seven Seas is probably the most hilarious and accurate description. And so, you know, these are two baddies. You know you're a baddie when somebody draws a picture of you.
Yes. With a sword covered in blood.
So just so everyone knows that they're fresh off a murder.
Right. In case y'all don't know what we're about, I killed a nigga right before this picture was taken. I ain't even had the time to wipe the blood off. This is a picture or a painting.
Also, they're right behind the ocean, so she could have easily dipped that sword in the ocean and wiped the blood off. She said, no, let them know.
Let them know what it is.
Gang, gang.
Gang, okay. Gang on them seven seas, ho.
So Annie Bonnie, which I love, that's such a great
original
name.
Bonnie and Clyde.
Right, so they're everybody. They're every famous person that's ever lived. So Annie Bonnie was born in Kinsale County, Cork, Ireland. That's a lot of names. Kinsale County, Cork. Ireland. That's too many names for one place.
A lot.
Around 1698, her father, William Cormack, was an attorney, and her mother, Mary Brennan, was the family maid whom with he had had an affair. Come on, Arnold Schwarzenegger! Yes! We love a love child, honey.
Oh,
spicy.
God.
So you were a scam when you were born. I love that for you. I think all babies born out of wedlock are a scam. And
I'm
am one of them.
Baby.
I'm an out of wedlock baby too.
Up top, Lacey. We bring a lot to the world.
We showed up in the womb and it was like, wait a minute.
We were a problem from birth. We were. Yeah, baby, I'm here
a
now.
A problem from birth. What you gonna do? What you gonna do? So in order to avoid the scandal of acknowledging his bastard daughter, he dressed Anne as a boy and introduced her as the child of a relative whom he had taken in. Now, why couldn't he have just said that she was a girl and a relative? I don't.
This
okay.
is literally Jon Snow's story, by the way.
Is this where Jon Snow's story came from?
Literally George where Jon Snow came from.
So Anne was eventually discovered, and so William and Mary immigrated to Charleston, South Carolina. That is a far immigration. Y'all did that in the 1700s? That's like a very aggressive amount of travel for that time period. Somebody's going to die.
Absolutely.
And sure enough, Mary died in 1711.
Scurvy. Dysentery. That's the Oregon Trail disease.
Yes, yeah, so many diseases.
Sure enough, Mary died in 1711.
Look, they've been dead for a long time, y'all. We can laugh at this.
Oh,
but, you know, we knew somebody was going to die. So apparently, she was the keeper of Anne's tame nature. So Mary was the only person keeping Anne chill. Like, so as soon as Mary passed, she was like, oh, it's time to wild out. Mad. Love it. So according to a general history of the robberies and murders of the most notorious pirates by a Captain Charles Johnson, Anne began exhibiting a fierce and courageous temper. So Anne was probably upset because Mary died, her mama.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was like, ah, fuck everybody. Fuck these things. Like, you know, I love that for her. She was a good girl gone bad.
Yes.
She reportedly murdered a servant girl with a folding knife and then beat a would-be rapist half to death. Okay, so what is a would-be rapist?
Somebody that might have done it if she didn't kill them.
How she know they was going to do it? Maybe she snatched them off of somebody.
Maybe
or something.
She did. It'd be the last attempt.
I'm going to trust her judgment and say she did the right thing. So the talk surrounding her carousing in local taverns and sleeping with local drunks became so much that it damaged her father's business as a planter. Now, that ain't right. Like, just because Mary wanted her, because Anne wanted to get her swerve on, y'all don't want to buy plants from her daddy no more. What y'all think gonna be wrong with the plants?
Oh, my God.
Your daughter a hoe. We don't want this ficus. What? What they got to do with me?
Wild. Your daughter a hoe. We don't want this ficus. Out of context makes no sense. You haven't listened to the rest of this podcast. You just jumped in here. You're like, wait, what? I missed something.
It don't make sense to be with context. I'm like, if I'm William, I'm like, now why am I in it?
Right.
What William
right,
do?
Right.
Y'all were wrong for that. People are petty. You know, times were slow, so they had to do something. So William eventually disowned her in 1718 at the age of 20. She married a sailor named James Bonney. Anne and her new husband moved to the Bahamas, where he worked as a bounty hunter, turning pirates into Governor Woods Rogers for bounties. So he would... Now, wasn't he a sailor? Okay, so he was a sailor, not a pirate. So he was just on the seas. He wasn't doing crime on the water.
Mm-hmm.
So he's reporting people, turning them in. Professional snitch. Love it. Governor Woods was a former pirate himself and composed the top 10 most wanted list of notorious outlaws and pirates, including Blackbeard. So he was a statue.
Yeah.
You know, I can't really trust statues. I just feel like if you have one.
I mean, the amount of control you have over that statue, if you had the money and resources to get it.
Yeah. Look at his statue, though. He's giving the girls like a... He's giving the girls. He said, well, y'all see this. Y'all go, no, I'm a bad bitch. Like... I'm reaching for my sword. It's like,
a graceful moment to be caught in.
You know, this feels like the olden day equivalent of like dudes posing with guns.
Yes. This is the hood dude lift up.
Yes.
I got that thing on me. Don't make me pull it out. I'll air this whole place out.
Why, Governor Woods statue said, ra ta ta ta. I love that for him. So, Anne, on the other hand, spent her time drinking and seducing local pirates. Oh. Anne was really out here getting her swerve on. Girl, you can't be fucking pirates. They got scurvy. They don't got no fruit on the water. I know that penis ain't good. No, girl. She eventually fell in love with Calico Jack. Wow. And left her husband to join his crew. What?
Calico Jack.
Ain't that a liquor?
Man, this sound like it.
So, one legend from a general history alleges that her first adventure as a pirate began with creating a corpse out of a dressmaker's mannequin and covering it in pig's blood. Why? When the crew of the passing French merchant ship witnessed Anne holding an axe over the corpse, they surrendered the pirate ship without a fight. I love women. She was like, I'm not even going to kill anybody. I'm just going to make a fake body, hold the axe, and be like, listen. You next. And they were like, well, we don't want to be... They're the French. You know the French always punking out.
Yeah.
So, oh, no, she did the murder. Oh, no, we don't want to be the murder. Give up the boat. We did not fight. No. We will not fight.
Oh, my God. That's a solid French accent.
Is it?
It's fantastic. The murder?
The murder? Voulez-vous cacher avec murder? No, not for us. We don't like the murder. I'm with them. I wouldn't have took no chances.
Hilarious.
She's showing us a fresh murder. I said, okay. You got it, sis. We'll swim. We'll swim back. Can you drop us off at the nearest port?
Hilarious.
So, though many women took to the seas in various capacities, women pirates were still seen as unusual, a potential liability, or even a bringer of curses on many ships. Y'all always trying to say we bring in curses.
Every time.
Blackbeard infamously banned women from his ship, and if one was taken captive, she was strangled to death. Mm. Damn. Anne solved any crewmates who might be outspoken against her presence by stabbing the first complaining man in the heart.
Jesus, Anne? What is she on right now?
Anne said, fuck around.
She's been killing people since she was a child.
Right. You're going to find out immediately. Not stabbing in the heart.
She going for blood, literally. That's what that picture was.
Yeah, that's a very aggressive place to stab.
Somebody asked a question. She was like, no, I got to kill you.
Right. I feel like they probably didn't even ask that many questions. It was just like, you bleeding right now down your leg. She probably had a period. And he was like, just stabbed him. Oh, my
now
God.
Now you bleeding out your heart. Now what's up?
What's up? Who bleed now? Who bleed now? Who got their period now out their heart? And what?
It's a period on your life. It's the end.
It's the end of periods. Wow, Anne. So Anne met Mary. Most of the time, Anne lived openly as a woman, as both Captain Rickman's lover and assistant. However, during fights with other ships, she dressed as a man, completed with a sword and pistol. According to some accounts, Mary Read was a prisoner on a boat captain Rankham's crew had conquered. So she ran into Mary because she was a prisoner on some other boat. She was like, oh, Mary, what's good? So Mary was dressed as a man. And when she was brought on board of Rackman's ship, Anne was immediately taken with the handsome newcomer and tried to seduce her in private.
Mm.
Anne is such a... Anne was out here, okay? She said, ho is life and also murder. Murder is life. Contradictory. So Anne was like, hey, Mary, what's good? Like, I'm trying to take you down. Like, you know, what's up? And Mary, like, bared her breast and declared that she was, in fact, a woman. And Anne vowed to keep her secret and thus began what would become an infamous friendship. So she was like, oh, no, sis, I got titties, too. And she was like, oh, me, too. Oh, my God. You know, in the very typical way that best friends show each other their boobs, which I've definitely done. I'm like, what do your boobs look like? This is what my boobs like.
This is, it's, Judith, do you hear her? She's unchained.
Unchained.
Definitely what best friends
do. Calling me Django. I don't know. I feel like guys, I don't know if guys willingly do that. Maybe like not cisgender
so
straight
like balls?
Guys.
No, we don't really.
But y'all go to the locker room and y'all be out. Just, y'all don't ever look.
You can't not see.
Okay.
But I don't think it's as, women tend to be more free. Our society allows, oh girl, your titties are tittying today. You can say that to your girlfriend. You can't be like, boy, your balls is balling today. don't have the same.
I want to free you guys from the shackles of the patriarchy that you made for yourself. Because I know y'all be jealous because we just be over here like, should I get a boob job? No, look at him.
Right.
Hands up, hands down.
Hands up, hands down.
We're a little more free, but also entrained
right
by y'all. So about Mary Read, she's a bastard child from England before her birth, 12 years before Anne, so she's older than Anne. She had a brother who died shortly after his father, and grandmother supported her from afar. When Mary was born, Mary's mother dressed her as a boy to resemble her dead brother in order to continue receiving money from her dead husband's family. I know that's right.
What in the world?
So they were both born as scammers. For some reason, both of their families dressed them as boys.
Yeah, so I said Mulan without
you
even
did.
Knowing.
And you were absolutely right.
You're absolutely right.
So,
it's a solid scam, though. That's how it tells you how much, like, that time period. All you had to do was dress them as a boy and be like, pay that child support for your son. Like, right. Okay.
Man, now that I think about that, that would have been a nice scam for me. I feel like I could have, like, passed as a boy and probably made some coins and escaped the patriarchy. If I could have passed, I probably would have did that back in these times because we have no rights. Mm-mm. Like, we was property. Yeah. Now, I would have to get around that. So, eventually, the scheme was discovered. So, in order to make money, Mary's mother continued dressing her as a boy and rented her out as a servant. Mary continued to live as a man into her teenagehood. It probably kept her safe. Mm-hmm. In 13, she served as a powder monkey. I don't know what that is. It sounds racist, but on a British warship carrying gunpowder between the ships and the gun crew. So, basically, this was back in the day when guns were so slow moving.
Yeah.
It took like 10 minutes.
You literally had to dump the powder in.
Dump the powder in, pump it up, do
That's
all
a
this.
Lot.
That's why we have the Second Amendment, y'all, because back then it took like half an hour to kill somebody. You had to be like, hold on.
Duh.
Stay right there.
Literally, you both of y'all are doing that at the same time. So really, who's more effective is going to stay alive.
Yes. And then also when you shoot, you only get one shot. So right? If you don't got good aim, you're like, fuck. All right. We have automatic weapons now, y'all. We have to change the laws. It was different back then.
No, they was not talking about what we have now.
At all. They had no clue about
them
what
things
we were
going to have. You got five shots max. Max. And that took an hour.
And you had to be good aim.
Man.
You couldn't be off and then shoot again.
No, this is a different world.
So... You know, she served as a powder monkey. She fell in love with her bunkmate, which led to her informing her regiment that she was a woman and quitting the army and marrying him. When he died shortly after, Mary put on her pants and sailed to the West Indies as a man again. Her ship was captured by Captain Rackham's crew. Believing Mary to be an Englishman, they offered her a position on the crew. See?
Wow.
She probably would have been strangled if they knew she was a woman. They're like, oh, you're an Englishman? You got a penis? Come on. Get on the boat. Oh, why did you say that? Why did you say that before that you had a penis? Come on over here. So her loose clothing and the fact that most of the rest of the crew were so young that they had smooth faces meant that she escaped suspicion for the most part. Eventually, rumors of Anne and Mary being lovers became too much for Captain Rackham. One night, he broke into Anne's cabin in a fit of jealousy with the intent to murder Mary. Mary revealed that she was a woman, and instead of proceeding with the murder, Rackham agreed to keep her secret from the rest of the crew and treat her as an equal because it don't count if it's another woman. So they were lovers, and they was getting it in. But so you know, Anne was probably giving a little bisexual energy. A
little bit.
And so was Mary. And he was like, oh, you were here fucking my girl? And he was like, oh, y'all both girls? All right, that's cool. Never mind. Now I'm going to close the door, actually. My bad. Y'all carry on. Y'all in here bumping. Y'all keep bumping. Ugly. It's okay. Never mind.
Oh, my God.
What? Wild. So she also fell in love. Damn, Mary is just falling in love with everybody. So she also fell in love with another sailor, a man much gentler than herself, which that kind of did make Captain Rackham mad because he was like, okay, now you fucking dudes.
He can take another woman. He can't take another man.
No. So once her sailor was challenged to a duel, Mary stepped in for him knowing that he would lose and won the duel herself. Wow.
Mary is a legend.
She really is.
She is a legendary pirate.
So during the battles, Anne and Mary fought side by side. According to one of their victims, they were very active on board and willing to do anything. Yeah, we know they about that action.
I mean, that much is true already.
They are giving about that action. So during the summer of 1720 alone, Captain Rackham's crew took almost like a dozen boats due to their prowess. So these women were helping them steal all these boats. They had landed like a huge schooner. They held their captives for 2 days before releasing them. I don't know if they released them into the ocean or they released them to God. It doesn't say.
Right, right.
I don't know where they went. I don't know if their soul went or if their body went to. So, but the plunders didn't last. On one October night, the fall of 1720, Anne and Mary were awake as they neared Jamaica, and they noticed that one of the governor's vessels was overtaking them. Most of the crew had passed out from drinking, and though Captain Rackham had attempted to fire on the oncoming vessel, they were outnumbered and called to surrender. But Anne and Mary were like, full Cleo. Like, they went full Cleo and set it off. They were like,
day
absolutely
after day, seems like I push against. But it's just a cannon instead of a police shooting at you.
Can you imagine being blown away by a cannon? That's very embarrassing. I'm not trying to die by a cannon. That's a big old ball coming at you. No. So they faced the governor's men alone, firing their pistols and swinging their swords. The legend says that Mary, being so disgusted at the rest of her crew cowering, stopped the fighting to look down and yell, "If there's a man among ye, ye'll come up and fight like the man ye ought to be." Okay. And when not a single man respired, she fired down into the hole, killing someone.
Man!
She said, get your ass up there and fight.
Mary is just a stone-cold killer.
She really is. She did not care about murders.
Dang.
It's also giving, like, my mom would be like, if you don't win the fight, then you gonna get a whipping when you get home.
That's exactly what it was.
So, yeah, Mary is about that murder life, continuing to be. Anne and Mary were eventually overpowered and taken prisoner. They're in a whole gun battle with a huge ship, and they still didn't die because that's how bad of aim everybody had.
There were stormtroopers out here.
Right. They were literally fighting stormtroopers. Or like in every like Bruce Lee movie where it's like 80 people attacking, but they're like one at a time. We're all just going to do karate.
You're just watching Bruce. The 50th dude got to be like, maybe the last 10 of us should just go in together.
Right.
Because the one-on-one thing, we are not winning.
We're not winning.
He's killing us on the one-on-one tip.
Also, I just feel like if I was the 50th dude, I'd be like, you know what? We see what happened here. Do we really think I'm going to be the one? I don't know, y'all. Y'all didn't even send me in first, which means I'm really not the closer.
Hilarious.
Yeah, I would have left. So Captain Calico Jack Rackham and his men were scheduled to be executed by hanging November 18, 1720. His last request was to see Anne before he died, who allegedly told him, if you have fought like a man, you need not have been hanged like a dog.
Wow.
Ooh.
That's cold-blooded to know he finna die. And let me leave this on your conscience. When you go up to the gallows, just know if you wasn't weak, you wouldn't be here right now. But you a mark, so you're going to die like a mark.
Wait, not Anne. Now Anne coming in and being like, you's a bitch. Can't believe I used to fuck you. If you don't know, that's Meg's plan B.
Oh, my God.
Damn. That's not the last thing I want to hear before I die. She ain't right for that. And you mean. You a mean lady.
Oh,
a week later,
God.
She and Mary stood trial, pleaded not guilty to all charges. Hilarious.
Of course.
But they were found guilty, duh, and sentenced to be hanged. Their sentence was only stayed because they both happened to be pregnant.
Oh!
I know that's right. Anne and Mary was.
That's the greatest scam of all time.
It is.
You kill me, you kill a baby. You don't want to do that. You don't want that in your conscience.
Y'all
want
to kill a baby? Well. I thought y'all really liked that. Babies.
Wow.
Wow. Not the pro-life getting y'all off.
Listen.
Even though both of y'all bitches is definitely pro-choice. But then when it was time to run that scam, it was like, okay, but what about God?
What about
what God gonna say if you do that? Wow. Y'all are very great.
Oh, man.
So, unfortunately, Mary died of a violent fever several weeks later. Man, it sucks that back in the day, you could just die of, like, being hot.
What's this, 99? You're gone. Everything was killing people back then.
Everything. Bee stings.
You was out of here.
You could, like, step on a nail and get tetanus and die. How embarrassing. You died by nail.
They like, cut your whole leg off. This is all we know how to do. We must cut your whole leg off.
We don't have anesthesia. Sip on this here whiskey.
Literally. As a matter of fact, we're going to pour some in the wound, and then just chop your leg off. What? That didn't
we're
work?
We're season your leg
you're dying
with
of fever
whiskey.
And infection? Well, we tried.
We tried. Honestly, we're just experimenting right now. It's just vibes, okay? Sometimes we win some, sometimes we lose
just
some.
Just vibes!
So Anne was eventually released and then disappeared, leaving a legacy that marked her and Mary as two of the most famous female pirates and thieves ever. Today, a statue of the lovers is unveiled at the execution dock in Wapping, wow. East London, where pirates and smugglers were executed more than 400 years. Oh, wow. They look good. They got the hair blowing in the wind. Who made these sculptures? It's giving baby. She's giving boss beat.
Is the hanging thing part of the sculpture?
Yeah, I feel like we should get rid of the noosey part. I don't think we need to look at that no more.
The noosey part?
I feel like we could just notice that.
It's low-key a picturesque. I mean, the background's great. You got the beach.
Yeah, that is a cute place to get hanged. Oh, God, I can feel like as a black person, I can't even say that. I feel like y'all could just put up a placard that says, like,
right.
This is where they were hanging people. I don't think we need to see the noose.
It's already Instagram caption worthy. It's already perfectly
ratioed. Oh, you know people
ratioed.
Have taken photos there.
Absolutely.
Because they're taking photos at Chernobyl, so I know they're taking photos
people,
here.
They did you see at Auschwitz, they had to tell people, like, hey, man, could y'all not...
Yes.
People were just, like, frolicking.
They were
like, yo, do you know what this is? This ain't really...
People to frolic. But here's the thing, though. People frolic at slave plantations, and they get married there.
That's a fantastic
imagine
point.
Being so fucked up that you're like, I want to get married where, like, all the black people were getting brutalized.
And let's dress up like they did back in that time.
Yeah.
We'll have mint juleps. It'll be fine.
Mint juleps.
It'll be totally fine.
I made it here. All right, guys. That brings us to the end of an amazing historic hoodwinks. We'll be back with the saddest part of the show, the end where I have to let Kev, allegedly Fredericks, go.
Robbery!
Watch Queenie, the new original series on Hulu. Who is Queenie? She's in her 20s. She lives in London. She's facing all the firsts. First major heartbreak, first shitty apartment and soul-sucking job, first therapy session to work through those mommy issues. Can she turn her quarter-life crisis into a revolution? Maybe. Will she make some questionable decisions along the way? Definitely. The new series Queenie premieres June 7th, streaming on Hulu. Finding the perfect t-shirt has always had me like Goldilocks, trying on shirts. This one's too hard. This one's too soft. And it fell apart because y'all know I got it from a cheap website. And this t-shirt from Skims is just right. From fit to quality, it is one of my, like, these are my favorite t-shirts. I have 3 different ones. Y'all know I love me an Onyx because I'm going to be wearing black all the time. They have a cotton long sleeve jersey tee that I really like too because the material is so soft. But when I put it in the washer, she don't have a whole transformation or makeover. It's not move that bust when I take it out. She looks the way that she looked when I put her in. And we know we cannot say that for all t-shirts, okay? So you can have staple t-shirts that you can mix and match and wear up or down. Maybe we're going to a fancy night out. Maybe we're going on a date. Maybe we're lounging around the house. I love these shirts so much because I can do so many different things with them. It's like, I'm telling y'all, Skims, they doing it right over there. I got on the underwear right now. I can't give it up. I think they got me, y'all. I'm not even playing. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com. Now available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. After you place your order, select Scam Goddess in the survey and select My Show in the drop-down menu that follows.
And fraud!
Everybody! back and it's time for Scammer of the Week. And today we're talking about a family of scammers from Queens, New York, which I love New York. Kevin talked about how he was scammed in New York, trying to see the Nets, which is a scam in itself. Like they
the
ever
Knicks.
Win. Oh, the Knicks. Okay.
The Knicks
which so even scary. Worse.
Yeah.
Actually, absolutely. Even worse. If you said the Nets, that would have been, I would have had more hope for you, even though they got swept this year. But you said the Knicks, oh, they ain't never winning.
Man.
Honestly, that's why those tickets should have been $50. They should have been free.
They should have been free.
I feel like Spike Lee should be outside Knicks games. Like, please.
They were good last season, too. It was great. It was Bing Bong,
that's
Bill Byron.
True. Not good enough, but.
Not good enough.
But better. Watchable.
Watchable for sure. Watchable for sure.
Now, like, I'm like, less Mama Spike, more proud. Spike. Yes. So this is a family of scammers from Queens, New York. We love a family of scammers.
Absolutely.
They stole a house from a dead man in 2010. How you steal from a dead man? He don't own that no more.
He don't
dead.
Need it.
See, this is, I don't like who wrote this. The news is giving us propaganda. They inherited a house from a dead stranger is what it sounds like to me. So in 2010, they stole this house. And they were finally caught after committing a COVID relief fraud scam. Which those were popping. People was just sticking lipstick applicators up people's noses and being like, give us $200. Very ghetto. So on November 10th, 2010, Russell Butler, a Port Authority account, and died with no will and no family to take over his vacant single-family home that cost around $700,000, or that's what it was worth. So Stephanie Bailey, 50, moved her family in 2014. I know that's right, Steph.
Get it.
Despite complaints being filed by neighbors over construction and renovations, no one seemed to notice that no one was supposed to be in the house. In 2017, Bailey's daughter, Chianti, like the wine... Kayla, why would she put this description like this? Hilarious. She was 31. She filed a bogus will claiming to be Mr. Butler's great-granddaughter and beneficiary of the state.
Wow.
The will was accepted, and in 2020, Chianti became the house's owner.
Wow.
I know that's right.
The audacity to just go for that.
The audacity of Chianti.
Chianti was like, man, that's my daddy house.
Also, this is 2020. Like, how hard are they looking? Everybody's dealing with a global pandemic. They was probably just like, stamp. I don't
know.
We
don't even care.
A wine just anyway. Inherited a house. They're like, sounds right to me.
Oh, my gosh.
So she immediately took out a $200,000 mortgage against it and claimed $95,000 in unclaimed funds owed to the
How?
Butler estate. So then she made about $300,000 because if you take out a mortgage, you're basically saying to the bank, hey, y'all, you can take some of the value back on this house and I'll pay it off slowly if I can have the cash. So now she's getting cash out of a house that she doesn't even own.
It's amazing.
Oh, look at this house. Okay, this house is very loud. I can hear this house in this photo.
Danny McPhee vibes.
I hope they weren't the ones who painted it this very aggressive light blue because if I were your neighbors,
Periwinkle.
I will report you too.
Ooh, that's a house.
That's like a sky blue.
Yeah, that's an odd selection. Nobody else on the block has that.
No, you can see next door. It's like
just a regular brick house.
Yeah, it's like a farmhouse with brick. And then they were like, oh, we going to be blue. I just feel like as scammers, you should never be painting anything this loud of a color. Just feel like it's a little too loud for y'all.
Absolutely.
So meanwhile, Stephanie invented a fake landlord to claim that she was renting the house in order to steal $100,000 in Section 8 housing assistance.
Wow.
Y'all got this house and ran it up.
A scamming flywheel.
I've never seen people use a house this hard.
Wow.
This house is working. This house is fully employed. This house got more jobs than a Jamaican. Now this house is like it's for the unemployed. It's for the underprivileged. It's a dead man's house.
This is crazy.
It's a house owned by a wine. Like, this is wild. So Stephanie's sister, LaTanya Bailey, Dostily, too many names, 45, used her position at the city's Human Resources Authority to steal the IDs of more than 20 children. She and her family used those identities to steal tens of thousands of dollars in tax return money and COVID relief, as well as $200,000 in bogus unemployment compensation. So now it's an orphanage.
This is just a scam that keeps on giving.
You're like, where do kids stay? They stay in this drawer right here, all 20 of them, their IDs. What? Mr. Butler's nephews caught wind that there were people living in their uncle's house, which prompted an investigation. So y'all were bad nephews because y'all didn't even know that your uncle owned a house. Like, and now all of a sudden you're hearing about some coin and now you want to investigate. In April 2022, after nearly a decade-long crime spree, Stephanie and LaTanya were arrested and arraigned on multiple counts of grand larceny, identity theft, and other charges. They were released without having to post bond, and Chianti is still at large. I know that's right.
Let's go, Chianti.
Let's go.
Scamming in the wind.
I know that's right. You better be out here barefoot and on the run, Keonti.
Wow.
Wow.
What a scam.
This I'm proud of them. I'm glad that they're free, too.
Yes.
Like, honestly, the
freedom
government.
Real.
It's the freedom for me. Oh, no. I feel like we're making it stick. No. No.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Kevin.
Oh, my God.
Kevin, maybe Fredericks.
Maybe Fredericks, allegedly. Allegedly.
Thank you so much for being
of
here.
Of course,
today.
I've had the time of my life. Thank you for getting me. Thank you for having
me. For getting me is accurate. It's like, thank you for hunting me down, because that's what I did.
Shout out to Big Jude's.
I'm your Keonti. I got you. But we always ask on this podcast, where would you like for people to find you? Anything you want to promote, plug, any place that people can find all your things?
Find me on Instagram. Instagram, Kev on Stage, Twitter. TikTok.
Your I think TikTok's it's Kevin on stage
TikTok.
Funny.
TikTok's I have a good time. One of those three will be enough.
They're so funny. And then you will be directed to the rest.
You will find the rest. If you follow me on those, I will have you in my grasp and I will lead you where
yes.
you should go.
Yes. And go on the Kevin on Stage website and yes. pre-order that book.
Marriage Be Hard.
Marriage
Get
Be Hard.
Get that.
They've been married since you were 20.
20 and 21 since 2004.
2004.
Yeah, it'd be 20 years.
That was when Ruben was sorry.
He was. I was just thinking about that song. I wonder if it would have aged better if he didn't mention the year.
Yeah.
The actual year makes me feel like, okay, this is an old song.
Yeah, it makes me feel bad about myself.
Yeah. That was a good song, but it's the 2004 makes you feel like, I shouldn't.
He should have did like the Black Eyed Peas. They were like, you so 2008, I'm so 3000.
There you go. Yeah, now you have another 100 years to
yeah,
go.
Yeah, it's got to be a place where you know you're going to be dead, and then we can all feel good.
Exactly.
2000 and late 3008. Not 2004, Ruben. We can't be sorry for that no more. As always, guys. If you want to find me, D-I-V-A-L-A-C-I, Diva Lacey on all platforms. If you want to snitch on your friends and family, just make sure the scam is retired at scamgotispod@gmail.com. Guys, get into this merch. I'm about to switch the merch up again, but if you want these scam hairpins, if you want these scam earrings, if you want these t-shirts and all these things, podswag.com/scamgoddess. Get into it, yeah. Congregation, stay scheming. Scam Goddess!
And y'all, I promise you, Stitcher Premium is not a scam. We are coming back with new bonus episodes of Confessions, where we read your listener letters with my partner and homie, Priscilla Davies. Guys, we're coming back July 14th. July 14th. And if you don't have Stitcher Premium, if you've never tried it, Stitcher.com/scamgoddess, go ahead and zip a toe, get a free trial with Scam Goddess. And you can hear all of our old episodes, back catalog, as well as the bonus episodes from last season and the one coming up this season, July 14th.
This has been an Earwolf production in association with Team Coco. Scam Goddess stars and is hosted by me, Lacey Mosley, aka Scam Goddess. It's produced by Judith Cargbo, engineered by Marina Faiz, and researched by Kaylin Brandt. Stay scheming!
This has been a Team Coco production in association with Earwolf.
Y'all, hormones, it's impossible not to have them. There's over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our food, our water, the air, the clothes, the skin care, the dryer sheets, everything, child, is a scam. To the hormones, okay? Plus, we have natural hormonal changes that our bodies go through. Like, what's going on with my body? Like, I am now in my 30s and my skin is acting like a teenager. What is going on with the hormones? Which is why I love Hormone Harmony. It contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Okay, so adaptogens help the body adapt to stressors like chaotic hormonal changes. It's perfect for women struggling with PMS, menopause, and more, honey. Y'all know I work hella jobs. Hormone Harmony has really helped me like regulate, especially like sleep and just relaxation and calming down and not panicking as much. They've got 17,000 reviews, so you don't even have to listen to me, but get into it. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire order at hormonemammoth.com. Just use the code GODDESS at checkout.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.